to 2 Chronicles, and we're going to read from the last half of paragraph of verse 20, chapter 20, 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20, because there's so many verses in this scripture, I'm just going to make it short that basically the Judah was under attack by many kings, and an overwhelming force was coming down upon them. And as Israel or as Judah came together with the wives and children and the men, they realized that the only way that they could overcome this overwhelming force was for God to intervene on their behalf. And we pick up in verse 11, "Behold, I say how that they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go not out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing to pray and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people come to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in the abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord, before the name of the same place was called the valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have read a passage of your scripture today. Your words, Lord, that were given to us, showing that when the people could just stand still, then they would see the salvation of God. And so, Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord, in every endeavor that we have in our life, to just let go and to let God, not to enter into the battle fray, but simply, Lord, to just stand still and let you take over. And Father, we just commit every aspect of our lives unto Thee. We know, Father, that we've been reading last night in how that, Lord, we have a token to apply. And we have a great promise, Father, from Thee, that our children would be with us. And so, Lord, we commit our children. We commit the battles that they go through. We commit, as a family, the battles we all go through. We commit them into Thy keeping, Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Last night we spoke from paragraph 157, where Brother Bram talked about the family of God back in Eden again. And he looked at the promises of God in the Scriptures concerning the New Jerusalem, where the conditions that existed in Eden will return to the earth once again. Now, if God has given us over 800 promises in His Word, and He has told us that we must ask if we wish to receive any of those promises, then He has also given us a way for us to ask. We read in the book of James that we desire, but we have not. And He said we have not because we ask not, or we ask amiss, which means that we do not ask according to His will, which is His Word. So if you are desirous of any of His 800 promises that are laying out in His Word for you, then all you have to do is go to God and give Him His same words that He gave to you back to Him. God loves to hear His Word repeated back. We see Elijah, the man of God, who knew that God heard his prayers, and he asked God that it might not rain. And so God shut up the heavens from rain for 3.5 years. Then Elijah asked God for rain, and God undid the prayer which He had answered to Elijah, and He allowed it to rain. In James chapter 5 and verse 16 we read, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth in the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now when you know the Creator of the heavens and earth is on the scene, it ought to cause you to pray like you've never prayed before. And we have the words of a vindicated prophet of God who said in his sermon, "Presence of God Unrecognized," paragraph 64, he said, "If we could only realize that He's appearing to us in these meetings for one purpose, and that's to release our desires that we have in Him to us. But we've got to recognize His presence." And now, how you recognize His presence is when the promised word of the age is made manifest, not the promised word of Moses' age or any other age, but the promise of the word of this age. We also read last night where Jesus promised us that we could go directly to the Father with our petitions, and He would give us whatsoever that we would ask in Jesus' name. In John 16, verse 23, we read, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." We heard Brother Bram speak about Elisha, and how that he asked for a double portion of the Spirit that was on Elijah, and God gave it to him. From Elijah and Elisha, preached in 1954, Brother Branham said, "Now when they got down to the Jordan, time to cross over, he made the way. Then, when he crossed over the stage of the Holy Ghost Church, he said, 'Now, I want to ask you something.' And he said, 'So, what do you want?' 'That a double portion of your Spirit come upon me.' That's the way to ask for it. Don't be scared. Ask for a whole lot. Jesus said, 'You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joys may be full.' Ask a whole lot. God just don't make me a little bit better. Make me all the way better. Don't just let me have enough religion to make myself miserable. Kill me out to sin that I can live in Christ." That's right. And from God commissioning Moses the prophet, Brother Branham said, when they crossed over, got over on the other side, he said, "Now you've asked, ask what you will, and I will give it to you." A perfect type of the church. All right, he said, "I want a double portion of your Spirit." Amen. Don't be scared to ask. Ask abundantly. "You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not." That's right. Ask a whole lot. God will give you a whole lot. Have a lot of faith. A fellow told me the other day, he said he was riding in a Model T Ford. He said one day he happened to get some faith and God gave him a Buick. He said, "I got Buick faith now. I'm praying for Cadillac faith." All right, that's good. That's right. Just keep on. What you believe, hold on to that. God will give it. He's got forward faith, so just stay with the forward then. That's all right. Let's get a little more faith. All right. And what good would it be for God to give us a promise of the token if it had no power behind that promise? And what good would it be to bring up children into this world only to lose them to the world? But just think, you will have them for an eternity with you, to be with you, to fellowship with you, to share with you in an eternity of love in the presence of God, who is the God of love. Now that's a reality that I'm looking for. That's what I'm living for. That's what keeps me pressing ahead and going to all these countries around the world. We have a promise that is so real that I can taste it. I can feel it. I can smell it. I can see it. Because God said, it's done deal, then it's a done deal for me. And not only will I see my offspring, but we will have joint ownership with my older brother, Jesus, because we are going to be joint heirs with Christ. That's the promise that we have in the Scripture. In Romans 8, chapter 11, or chapter 8, verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, that's God's Holy Spirit, it beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And that is because Christ is our older brother, and we are joint heirs with Him. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we might also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And the manifestation of the sons of God will be no different than the manifestation of the Son of God. And how did Jesus manifest His sonship? By His obedience to His Father. And that is the way any son will manifest their sonship. It's not going out there and doing supernatural feats. That is to the Jews. The manifestation of the sons of God is when we come into full obedience to the word of our Father, who happens to be God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath selected, or who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, and we know the word of God searches the hearts. For he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, He has also glorified. What shall we then say of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor heights nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And how we so often forget that. When we're maybe feeling bad, feeling sick, nauseous, or having a sore pain in our back, how we feel, how we get within ourselves and we forget that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Brother Branham said from his sermon, does God ever change his mind about his word? He said, God never changed his mind or his word, but he will give you the desire of your heart. He promised you that. You know that? He promised to give you the desire of your heart, and let your desire be the word of God. Let your desire be his will, never your own will. If you ask him for something, he don't give it to you. Say, thank you, Lord. You know what's good for me. We read in the Psalms, chapter 84, verse 11. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So if you're walking uprightly before God, he promised he would not withhold any good thing for you. Look, if we can just come to the place where we put God first in all of our thoughts, you'll never be lacking of anything. That is what Jesus prayed for. That we would be one, even as he and the Father were one. And he said it comes by the same word that the Father gave him, and that he has given us that same word. And look, if the word of God is the power of God, and God has given you the full word in this hour, then God has given you the full power as well in this hour. And Brother Branham said if we could only realize that we are deity, there's deity dwelling in your being. And he said, if you could only realize that you have the power laying within you to speak worlds into existence, then what about changes you want to see? You want a new job? Speak it. You want a job? Speak it. You want healing in your back? Speak it. You want a perfectly healthy baby, a normal pregnancy? Speak it. Don't doubt in your heart. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. From the spoken word is the original seed. Brother Branham said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. Now look, if we can just come to the place where we put God first in all of our thoughts. As we read from the book of James, we have not because we ask amiss. God promised to give us his mind. Jesus prayed. He said, Father, that the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they might be one. The glory, the doxa, the opinion, the assessment, the judgment, the very mind of God in his sons, his daughters. And Brother Branham laid it out this way. As I said, from the spoken words, the original seed, he said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father, or the Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. Harmony. That's oneness. In John 5:19, so will the bride, and he shows her his word of life, he shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death, for if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Now I got a great big hallelujah. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride, and the mind of Christ is in her. To know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord, and then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill, as he did complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here, for it was not time yet. So if it wasn't time yet then, when is it time? This hour when the fullness of the word has come again. So you see, if we have the mind of the Father, and we know we have the mind of the Father, We must have His Spirit in order to have the mind of the Father, because Paul said that by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. And Paul said, what man knoweth the things of a man except the Spirit of man is in him? What man knoweth the things of God except the Spirit of God is in him? And if God has given us His doxa, it's because we've received His Spirit. So you see, if we have the mind of the Father, then we have the Spirit of the Father living in us. I've shown you many times from 1 Peter 1 and verse 13 and 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 4 to 10, that God has given us the Spirit of grace in this hour to have the mind of Christ. And He said, let the mind that was in Christ be in you, and it is. So it is possible for you to have God's own thoughts within your very mind. And that is what Brother Branham was talking about in that last quotation we read from the spoken word's original seed. Notice he begins by quoting John 5:19. Where Jesus said, the Son can of Himself do nothing, but whatsoever He seeth the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. And again, let me read what Brother Bram said about that. He said, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until He seen the Father, or the Father showed Him first. Harmony between God and Christ, see? John 5:19. So will the bride. He shows her His word of life, He shows her, and she receives it. She never doubts it. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will rise it up again. Amen. Now I got a great big hallelujah. Notice he calls that harmony between God and Christ. Harmony between the Father and His Son. Harmony is an agreement between two persons. It is oneness between two persons. And that is what Jesus said in St. John 17. In St. John 17 verse 11 He said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father. Keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given Me, that they may be one as We are one. And how is it that we might be one even as He was one with the Father, in the same manner that Jesus was one with the Father? Jesus said in John 17 and verse 14, I have given them Thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus tells us that we become one with God through the same word that He became one with God. And in verse 20 He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in us, as the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. Therefore it is very apparent that we are one by receiving the same word, the same mind, the same glory as the Father had, and that He gave Jesus. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, He said, I have given them, that they might be one, even as we are one. And remember, this glory is the doxa, which is God's opinion, His assessment, His judgment, His very mind, or His very way of thinking. And in 1 Corinthians, we are told that no man can know the mind of God unless the Spirit of God is in him. So we have the assurance that by one Spirit we have been baptized into that one body. So we see that Jesus and God were one because Jesus received God's word, and Jesus said Himself that because that we have received the word which the Father gave Him, that we would that would make us one with the Father as He was one with the Father. From harvest time, Brother Branham said, Jesus said that they might be one, Father, as You and I are one. Not for some man to be over something. It never will work. One denomination wants to take over the other, and one man over the other. But that thou might be one with God, like Christ and God was one. That's what the prayer is. That He was the Word, and Jesus prayed that we might be the Word reflecting Him. That's His prayer to be answered. See how Satan scruples it up in the carnal mind? But that wasn't Jesus' prayer at all. That we all might congregate together and all have a certain creed and so forth. Every time they do that, they go further and further from God. He wants us to be one with God, and God is the Word. Each individual in his heart must be that one with God. And after he explains, after explaining that how God and Christ and the bride will all be one, Brother Branham continued, here is the secret. The Word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what He wants done with the Word, and she does it in His name. So the bride not only has His Word, but she knows what to do with it. That means then that she has to have His mind, which he says that she does. Because if she does not have His mind, then how is she going to know what to do with His word? That is what he said. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ. So not only does she have his word, but she also has his mind to know what to do with the word. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants to done with his word, and she does it in his name. Then he continues, she has thus saith the Lord. Now that does not mean that she goes around saying, thus saith the Lord this and thus saith the Lord that. But he says she has thus saith the Lord. In other words, she has what the Lord has already said. She has the word. She has the word. And this is no different than when Jesus in John 17 and 14 says, I have given them thy word. And he also said in verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they might be one, even as we are one. So when Brother Branham says they have thus saith the Lord, that they have what the Lord has already said thus, and they have the mind of the Father to know what to do with that word. Then Brother Branham said, then it is germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it is grown and serves its purpose. They do only his will. Amen. I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Then they will do the works of God. For it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all when he was here. For it was not time yet. So we see then that now is the time for the complete fulfillment to take place of God in his family. From the token, Brother Branham said, I believe Jesus is here. Now hold your token right over that desire. Now let me tell you by his word, and he cannot go contrary to that word. He has already purchased your desire. If it's according to his will. And his will is to heal. His will is to give you your desire. He will hold no good thing. He will withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before him, presenting that token. So if you've got this powerful thing called a token, and you hold that up before God, we have a promise that God will not withhold any good desire that you have. Now from spiritual amnesia, Brother Branham said, the Lord has given us this promise. Ask the Father anything in my name, I'll do it. Yeah, that's our promise. It isn't our faith in our prayer then. It's just our faith in doing what he said to do. So when we lay hands on the sick, and we've seen countless miracles around here. You lay hands on the sick. You're doing it because he said to do it. Then it's up to him to do it. It's not you mustering up some hunda mashunda and slapping somebody in the forehead and hitting them in the stomach. Beating the devil out of that person. It's simply doing what he said. And Brother Branham said, you don't even need to pray. He said, the Bible doesn't say you have to pray and work yourself up into a fetish. It says simply, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. The sick shall be healed. Simply laying hands on the sick. So Brother Branham said, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, you shall have it. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Just makes us feel wonderful to think that our kind Heavenly Father in his kindness has given us privilege of having what we want or desire, as long as it's in his will, of course. And we know when it's his will, it's if it's according to his word. Then we know it's his will. And we're talking about the token this morning. And it must be applied. And to apply it, it shows that you're identified with it. And the token is the presence of God in our midst. Look, we take too lightly what God has done for us in this hour. He himself has come down to make the way open for us to enter back into eternal fellowship with him. And he has made a way for you to have your children with you forever. What a glorious thing. From a sermon called Fellowship, Brother Branham said, now God began to restore back to Job. He restored his stock, his animals, his livestock, everything double. But did you notice about his children? He restored back Job's children. Didn't say he doubled them, but he restored them to him. Wonder where they were at? Did you ever take a thought of that and read the book of Job? They were in glory, waiting for him. Because he had offered a sacrifice under the shed blood, and he knowed where they were waiting for him. under the shed blood. Now, he never said that he'd give him back another bunch of children. But he restored Job's children to him because they were waiting for him under the shed blood of the sacrifice. Now, that's a powerful token. From the message, Thy House, Brother Ram said, and now we all think our kids is renegades and things like that. But we must stop that kind of thinking. I believe that we must remember that these kids are the best kids in the world because they're our children and we claim them for God. Now, your salvation will not save that child. But now Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thy house shall be saved. Now, what did he mean by that? He didn't mean that because that they were saved, that their houses would be saved with it. He meant this, that if we had enough faith to be saved himself, his same amount of faith that he had for himself would work for his children. See what I mean? So you take what God did for you and you give back thanksgiving to God and you apply it now for your children. From thy house, he also said, paragraph 25. Job said, and if, by the way, if you want to know how to apply the token, the message was preached in 1961. It's called Thy House. It's just filled with examples. Job said, when he seen everything was just in good order, like your homes are now, he said, you know, my children is married and gone off. But said, maybe peradventure one of them might have sinned. Now there's one requirement that God had. There was a burnt offering. And he said, he didn't believe his children sinned, but he said peradventure that they might have sinned. Because they're visiting one another and going to parties at one another's homes and so forth and mixing it up, I guess, and so forth. And he said, if one of them has sinned, so Lord, I will bring a burnt offering and offer this burnt offering for my child, see? And that's all that he knew to do. That's all God required, a burnt offering. That's all that he required. Well, then, when the great midnight hour come and struck the poor old Job was in the condition he was, you know. He'd lost all his cattle, all his sheep. And the storms come and killed his children. And fire burnt up his servants. And his own health failed. And he sat in the backyard on an ash heap. And his own body broke out with boils. Till he took a piece of crock and scraped his boils. And even his wife got discouraged with him. Now paragraph 29. God restored back to Job what? He restored back to him his... Where he had 10,000 cattle, he'd given 20,000 cattle. Where he had 40,000 sheep, he gave him 80,000 sheep. See? And he restored everything back to him that he ever had. And you notice it said, and he restored his 7 children. He gave Job his 7 children. Didn't give him 7 other children, but he gave Job his 7 children. Now, what was it? His house. Thy and thy house. Because he was righteous. Because he was standing on everything that God gave us to be righteous. Or gave him. Was to offer that burnt offering. And he knew that that was God's word. And it could not fail. So did you ever think where them children was? They was in heaven waiting for him. See? He's with them today. And God saved Job's children. And they were in heaven waiting for him. See? From paragraph 39. Friends, a conversion outside of the same thing won't last either. It won't. When you go to church and you say, well, I'm going to church and I'm going to be baptized, if that isn't coming from the heart of love to God yonder, it'll never go anywhere. All you'll do is join church and be baptized. But when you're converted to Christ, a love to Christ, then you accumulate a faith in Christ. Like you would to your wife or to your husband. You accumulate a faith that you walk in that faith. I don't know something about you, you just got something that anchors you there, you see? Well, that's the same way it is with Christ. And what Christ says, you believe it, and you just stay right with it. And that's the way. It just raises you right up above it, and God brings it to pass and fulfills his promise. If thou wilt believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thy and thy house shall be saved. And from paragraph 44, he said, but you understand what I mean now, to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thine house shall be saved. Believe for yourself and believe for your house, and you shall have it. Say, well, the doctor said I can't get well. Well, if thou can believe on the Lord, you can get well. Well, I'm out of work. But if you believe on the Lord, see, you shall have work. And I don't know what to do about this situation. Believe on the Lord. Take it all back to the Lord. You know, we sing that song about take it to the Lord in prayer. From Acts chapter 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. You know, it's interesting that God did that. How many times did God use the song of man? When the people went forth to battle, praising God, singing the praises of His holiness. By the time they got there, the battle was already done. When the children of Israel marched around Jericho 7 times, singing praises to God, God completely destroyed those walls that were wide enough for chariots to race upon. Wide enough for chariots to race upon. And here, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And then the earthquake opened up the gates so they could walk out of prison. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in, and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must we do, or what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and his house, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Talk the word in your homes. According to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if we turn to it, you create an atmosphere of the token within your home. Now these are the commandments and statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded you to teach, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy sons' sons, all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God hath, God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart first. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt walk and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the posts of thine house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, etc. So he's telling us to create an atmosphere in the home. That's why I try to have a picture in every room in my house that reminds me why I'm here, what it's all about. From Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and unto your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God should call." Now from the token, Brother Branham said, but the true token of the blood, speaking out, speaks of a living, resurrected presence. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right, living among us. Amen. It speaks better, not from dead forms and creeds, but a living token of a living Christ that lives in us. No, they deny that there is such a thing, but we know that it's true. But we who believe that the word. Know that God promised it, and he keeps his promise. And know it is his living presence, for he does as he did. From Acts chapter 11, we see another example. Verse 1, "And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how that he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send me to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." Words that will save the entire house. "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then remembering I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did give to us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." Here are three instances where God applied the token. He said, it's for your family. Don't be selfish and apply it for yourself. Take that which God has already given you, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation and the understanding, the reality that he's here. And place that in your homes. From the token, paragraph 1963, Brother Ramson, notice, they were not just yet come together to talk about the message. That's the problem we have. People talk, but they don't live it. They come together to apply the blood, to apply the token. That's what you must do. Pastor Neville, and to this congregation, trustees, deacons, to you, brethren, it's time that we laid aside all the foolishness of this world, time we laid aside everything else. We've seen enough now that we're positive sure, and the token must be applied. Without it, you're going to perish. You must perish. That is the only thing. Oh, don't come together and say, I believe it. Get beneath it. Get into it. And how to do it? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, the body of Jesus Christ. Everybody believe with all your heart. See? He was not responsible for any that was out from beneath it. And again, from the token preached in 64, he said, that's what he was requiring that night, to separate the believers from the unbelievers. The believer worship, a worshiper, was identified with his sacrifice. He must apply the blood. It wasn't take and kill a lamb and set the blood out there somewhere, or keep it in a charger, take it down to the neighbors. He had to apply the blood. And that's the way it is tonight. It's not just to have all these books of Brother Branham, the sermons, just laying on the shelf someplace. It's to take it into you and to live it. Make it part of you. He said, we could come and sympathize with everything God does, but that isn't what he requires. You've got to apply it. It's not sufficient until you apply it. The blood must be applied. That shows that you are identified. The worshiper laid his hands on the lamb and then killed it, identifying himself with that sacrifice. And from desperation, he said, the token, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is among us. We must reverence that. We can't humble ourselves enough. Taking off your shoes or getting on your knees wouldn't expel it. It wouldn't satisfy. It wouldn't suffice it. But a life that brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. And remember this morning, preparation sent the messenger with the message. Next thing he done after he sent the messenger with the message, he sent the pillar of fire for a vindication. Next thing was after that was consolation. See? You knew that it was right and you was at peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now if we believe that what we just heard Brother Brown tell us, the token, is Jesus Christ himself, his presence is here with us, bringing the word into a reality. And if Christ is the token, then we must understand what it means to apply that understanding in our lives. Therefore, in the next few paragraphs or quotes, I want you to see how Brother Branham explains how that we apply the token and what part of our and what our part is in applying the token. And now before we apply this token, we must ask ourselves, what is it supposed to do for us? And Brother Branham answers that from his message, Desperation. He says, and now there's just no certain evidence. See, you say, Brother Branham, I feel it in your mind. See, you see, why will I know? Look, what were you and what are you? There's how you know, see? What was you before this token was applied, and what are you after it's applied? What was your desires before it, and what is your desires after? Then you know whether the token's applied or not. And these other things just automatically go with it, see? So it's an attitude. It's the desires. It's the mind. In the next quote, we'll see how that the token is to be applied. And if the token is the very presence of Christ Himself, then how do we apply that token in our homes? And he answers this question in a sermon called The Token, preached 9-1 of 63. He said, believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to your house. Then what do you do when you apply the token? When you apply it to your house, move all the trash out. Get all the short skirts and the shorts and the cards and the cigarettes and the televisions and whatever more and kick them out the door. You're going to apply the token. You won't stand still for it. Yes, sir. Take it all out. All the dances and parties and rock and roll and all the old vulgar newspapers and the stuff that's of the world. Kick it out the door and say, we're cleaning out this place around here. That's how you apply it. How many people in the message claim the token? They talk the token. They got televisions in their home. He said, kick it out. That's applying the token. Now, if you truly believe that the presence of God was coming to visit your home, you would get rid of everything that you knew was offensive to Him. You would burn it and throw it out. And you'd do a real good house cleaning to make sure that your house reflected that you truly believe the judge of all the earth was coming to visit your home. If you truly believe that it's white throne now, you'd clean it up. That is why I like to have a picture in each room, a reminder. He is the judge of all the earth. And we're living in the presence of the King. In the message the token preached again, 1963, he said, apply it. And how do you apply it? He said, create that atmosphere around you that they'll just drop right into it, see? Oh, if you got the token, you create a spirit around you of power that when you walk, people know that you're a Christian. They love for you to say something to them. They believe your word, what you say. They hold on to it. See, that is it. Apply the token and then walk with it. Claim your household. You must do it now. This is the evening time. Now you've been listening for a long time now. This is the evening time. It's applying time now. The wrath will strike one of these days. It might be too late then. See? See, apply the token with confidence. And again from 1964, the message called The Token, he said, yes, clean out the cupboard. Clean out the house. In other words, the place where you hide stuff. Clean out the house. Oh, we have a good old-fashioned house cleaning. Let the blood be applied. Then the token will come in. Clean it out. Sanctify it. Then apply the token in prayer with confidence when you've cleaned up yourself. When you cleaned yourself up. You've got away from the things of the world. You've dumped all the unbelief out. I don't care what the people says. If the Word of God says it and promise it, I believe it. If the Word says it, that settles it. I don't care what anybody else says. See? Then when you've got all of that done, you've applied the token, and you believe every word, then take your token in prayer and be fully convinced. And again, he said, associations and ministers have let the people do anything and get by and just put their name on the book and call them this, that, or the other when it's a disgrace. And it's got so that faith is something that's not even, don't even, very seldom even know what even it is. They got a hope, but not faith. You've got to get back to everything that's combed out and clean. Then take your token that you know that it's Jesus Christ in you. Then apply it. If something don't happen, there's something wrong, go back again. Do more cleaning. Got the wrong thing in your hand? He promised it. He was the one who promised it, so apply it. And finally, in closing, I'd like to read one last quote from Brother Bram's sermon called Presence of God Unrecognized. He said he's working for one purpose, for you to recognize the presence of Jesus Christ. See, if he is present, then why everything is settled. He made the word. He's here to confirm it. He proves that he'll confirm it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we recognize your presence, Lord. And if we truly in our hearts recognize your presence, then our conversation will be holy. Our actions will be holy. Our homes will be holy. The radio stations we listen to will be holy. And if there isn't holy radio stations to listen to, we have tapes. We have songs. We can sing to ourselves and sing to Thee. Because we know that when the people sang, it brought Your presence down to fight their battles for them. So Father, we just commit ourselves. May the token be applied in every home. May we have a goal and a desire in our heart to see our children with us on the other side. When we get a body change, when we'll never know sickness or sorrow again, when we'll never know hunger or thirst or pain or suffering, when we can have an eternity of pure love, undefiled, with our children, and a relationship that'll truly be holy and truly be filled with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And so, Lord, we just commit ourselves to the journey that we're living in now, that we're walking in, the reality of Your presence with us. And we ask that You would make Yourself more real to us in these next few days than You've ever made before. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. The other musicians come forward and let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed. To Him against that day. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is a
make His face shine upon thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee shine to you.